The UK just recorded its lowest greenhouse gas emissions since 1872, and the economy? It nearly doubled. Here's how they pulled it off. Good morning. Welcome to Brightside Daily. I'm Rory, alongside Elizabeth.
And today, we've got four stories that prove progress isn't just possible, it's already happening.
We're starting with the UK smashing the myth that you have to choose between a strong economy and a healthy planet.
Plus, Rwanda just eliminated a disease that's plagued humanity since the ancient Egyptians. 50 countries down, more to come.
Let's get into it. 364 million tons. That's how much CO2 the UK emitted last year. Sounds like a lot, until you realize it's the lowest figure since 1872. We're talking levels not seen since Queen Victoria was on the throne. And here's the part that really matters. This wasn't about shrinking the economy to save the planet. While emissions dropped 54% below 1990 levels, Britain's GDP nearly doubled. Coal use fell to lows not seen since the 1600s. Over 700,000 new electric vehicles hit the road in a single year.
And it's not just carbon numbers improving. Fine particulate matter, the tiny pollution particles that cause real health damage, those are down significantly too. Cleaner air means fewer hospital admissions, fewer asthma attacks in kids. The health dividend alone is enormous.
Wind and solar now generate electricity cheaper than fossil fuels in the UK. That's not idealism. That's market economics. And it's created an entire export industry in offshore wind technology that simply didn't exist in the coal era. Now, there's an honest caveat here. Some of this reduction comes from moving heavy manufacturing overseas. You can't claim full credit if you're importing the emissions instead. Transport and home heating still need serious work.
But as a proof of concept, the old argument that environmental protection kills growth, this data buries it. Let me tell you about a disease most people have never heard of. Trachoma. It's caused by a bacterium that scars the inside of your eyelid with repeated infections. Eventually, your eyelashes turn inward and scratch your cornea every time you blink. If untreated, you go blind. It's ancient. Archaeologists found evidence of it in Egyptian mummies, and it still affects over 136 million people in endemic areas worldwide. Or rather, it did. This week, the WHO confirmed Rwanda as the 50th country to eliminate trachoma as a public health problem. 50 countries. That number deserves a moment. When the global elimination campaign started, 57 countries were endemic. Now more than 80% have beaten it. Rwanda did it through something called the SAFE strategy: surgery for advanced cases, antibiotics for active infections, facial cleanliness education, and environmental improvements, especially clean water access. It sounds straightforward, but getting that to every remote village in the country took years of relentless work.
And this is a country that rebuilt its entire health system after the genocide in 1994. To go from that to leading global disease elimination in a single generation, that's an extraordinary national achievement.
20 countries still to go before 2030, but at this pace, that target looks genuinely reachable.
California's 2012 to 2015 drought was the worst the state had seen in 1,200 years. And in the middle of it, something happened that scientists had only ever theorized about.
Wait, are we talking about evolutionary rescue? I read the science paper on this.
That's exactly it. Cornell researchers tracked 55 populations of scarlet monkey flowers through 8 years, including that brutal drought. These are delicate, wild flowers. They should have been wiped out. Instead, they evolved. Measurable genetic shifts appeared within a single generation. Not random mutations, targeted changes toward traits that help conserve water and tolerate heat. The flowers literally rewrote their own survival code in real time. It's the first documented case of evolutionary rescue in wild plants. Evolution happening fast enough to save a species from extinction as the threat unfolds.
And the crucial detail is genetic diversity. the populations that survived had enough variation in their DNA for natural selection to work with. Without that diversity, there's nothing to select from, and the species just disappears.
Which completely reframes conservation. It's not enough to protect individual animals or plants. You have to protect the genetic variety within populations. That's the raw material for survival.
As the lead researcher put it, every lost population reduces the evolutionary toolkit available for the future. 50,000. That's how many parking spaces Paris ripped out and replaced with bike lanes, parks, and pedestrian areas. 20 years ago, nearly every neighborhood in the city was breaching EU air quality limits. Dangerous levels of fine particulate matter and nitrogen dioxide choking residents across the capital. Today, independent analysis shows fine particulate matter is down 55%, nitrogen dioxide down 50%. Most neighborhoods now meet clean air standards.
And the transformation goes beyond what the numbers show. Where cars used to dominate, you've now got families cycling to school, elderly residents tending community gardens, businesses thriving along pedestrianized corridors. The city fundamentally changed how people move.
What makes this story powerful is the time frame. This wasn't a quick fix. It took sustained political commitment across different mayors and administrations. Bike lane experiments led to bigger changes, which built public support, which enabled bolder action, a genuine positive feedback loop. Gentrification is a real concern. You have to make sure improved neighborhoods don't price out the people who lived there through the difficult years. But as a blueprint for urban health, Paris proved that cities can choose clean air. It's not geography, it's not luck, it's political will.
What happens when the rest of the world's cities start copying the playbook? Time for a rapid fire round. Here are this week's numbers that matter.
Kenya has launched free 6-month HIV prevention injections for its 1.4 million at-risk residents. 2 clinic visits a year instead of a daily pill. That's not just medical innovation. It's African countries leading the world in HIV prevention technology.
In the French Alps, bearded vultures are back. Over 260 birds released across decades of patient conservation. And scientists just found one called Balthazar, 38 years old. The oldest wild bearded vulture on record, 9-foot wingspan. Nature's bone recyclers, reclaiming their mountain skies.
An Indian educator named Rubal Nagi just won a $1 million teaching prize for creating over 800 open-air classrooms in urban slums. Number fancy buildings required, just tarps, colorful mats, and teachers trained to be counselors. Education meeting children exactly where they are.
And in Kazakhstan, the Saiga antelope, that wonderful creature with the inflated nose, has improved from endangered to near threatened. Their population crashed from over 1 million in the 90s to fewer than 50,000 in the 2000s. Community-driven conservation brought them back from the edge. That's your Bright Side Daily for Monday.
If any of these stories made you feel a bit more hopeful about the world, consider sharing this episode with someone who could use some good news today.
And if you want the full stories with all the links and sources, head to thebrightside.news. Everything we cover is there in detail.
Tomorrow, we've got a remarkable story about ocean recovery that surprised even the scientists behind it. You won't want to miss that one.
Until then, keep looking for the bright side.
It's out there, and it's bigger than you think.